Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is January 30th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motive Vitality on Google Podcast or iHeartRadio or Stitcher or Apple iTunes or whatever podcast app you use, or by going to MotiveVitality.com, where you can listen to nearly a decade of archived calls, if you so choose. Hours and hours and hours of these. How fun is that? I do have one real quick announcement, and that is that WQA is making some changes to the continued education policy, the CE policy, meaning that some of the calls that we've had available in the past that are able to get seat time credits for. Morning, Jerry. Some of those calls will be, they'll have to be a quiz, they will no longer be free. There'll have to be a fee attached to those. So if you're looking at those, then I wanted to let everybody know those changes are coming. These are new WQA policies that are being announced and implemented. So, in the past, if you've done them in the past, that's great, and we appreciate it. So, we do have a guest speaker, so I'm going to skip the questions that I normally ask to get the conversation started this week, because I want to get right into talking to our guest speaker. I'm hearing some background noise, so if everybody could just mute their phones unless they have a question or a thought. Jerry, I think that might be you. You came on. If you can mute your phone, that might help a little, because I'm getting a little feedback. So feel free, though, to pop in if you have any comments or anything. I want to introduce our guest. Our guest today is Kelsey Thompson. Kelsey graduated from high school a couple years ago and decided that despite having a scholarship and having a ton of opportunity and really excellent grades, she really didn't know what exactly she wanted to do. And so for some of us that have experienced going to college for one thing and realizing that you ended up doing something entirely different, I think that a lot of the kids that are coming out of school these days are a lot smarter, and they find other ways to gain education. Kelsey, I want to give you a little background, because she's an amazing young woman, and I'm thrilled to have her on our call to answer some relevant industry questions. But Kelsey had saved babysitting money and Christmas money and holiday money all the way through. And so she had a substantial amount of savings working all the way through high school, and she put a lot of money back. She was always very frugal. And so when she graduated, she had an opportunity to travel. So in between her junior and senior year, she went to Europe and France for her with her French class, but then spent another month in Germany visiting some friends that she'd made that were foreign exchange students. Directly after high school, she spent several weeks in Vietnam and then came back to the States for a couple weeks and decided to go to Australia for a year. So in the last year and a half, Kelsey has spent time in Australia. She spent time in the Philippines. She spent time in Indonesia, in Japan, and throughout the course of that, she and I have had conversation, and I followed her on Instagram, and a lot of the conversation has been about water. And so I'd like to introduce you all to Kelsey Thompson, and one of my all-time favorite people in the world. So good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Thank you for all your kind words.
So, Kelsey, let's start right off with, I know that you traveled, the first place really that you traveled to was Europe, and you were still in high school on that. And I want to keep most of this. I know there's a ton of questions that I know people would have and that I always have. And you have some of the most fascinating stories, but, I want to keep it water related. So, when you grew up in the States, obviously, and we turn the faucet on and we have water, potable water. Water has been part of your life. in some way, you've kind of been close to it your entire life. But was there any difference? Did you see any difference, or do you remember any difference when you first traveled overseas? And in Europe, I know, is very similar, but go ahead.
I spent a lot of time in Germany, and I have a lot of German friends. And one thing that my German friends always say when they travel to other countries is that how much they miss the water. In Germany, anywhere you go, you just turn on the tap and you can just drink it straight out of the faucet. Whereas, like, we have water systems in our houses, and I know at my dad's house we always had a water system, but at my mom's house we never did. So we, like, my mom and us, we wouldn't drink the water that came from the tap. And when my German friends would come over, when I had them as exchange students in America, they would think it's so weird that we didn't drink the tap water, because back in Germany it's so common for them to just drink it straight out of the faucet. So that's a big difference that I noticed. They don't usually have water systems within their houses. It's just filtered as it comes to their sink. I did notice, like, a huge difference in my hair when I went to Germany, and the water just feels so good there. The water in Australia, so I spent 1 year in Australia. There's free water faucets everywhere. You go to a public park, you can get free drinking water. By the beach, the ocean, there's always free water stations, and usually you can drink water pretty much anywhere from the taps in Australia as well. So when I was traveling, I would always carry when I was living in my car, I had jugs of water, and we just go to the local...
Explain that a little bit so people understand what that means. Because it sounds, when you say living in your car, it sounds, I mean, this was an intentional effort, right?
Yeah. So I lived in my car for a while on purpose and did some freedom camping. And this was an intentional act to save money and to see the country. And so how we did that is we would camp, and we had to take all of our supplies with us everywhere we went, and so we'd always have this big water jug, and we could fill it up at local bathrooms. There's always public toilets where you can go, and then we just use the sink faucet, and the water was always fine.
Was there ever a time when you were in one of the more rural communities that that you did have a concern with drinking
in
the water?
Australia?
Or any, because I'm also interested in Vietnam, and you know, you traveled a little through Asia.
Yeah, we got to go one country at a time. So, in Australia, I was never concerned about the water. The water was always safe to drink. So the times where I did have to prepare and think about the water is in Southeast Asia, which I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. I spent 6 weeks. I was in Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Singapore. That was my first Southeast Asia trip. And then after Australia, I spent 1 month in the Philippines, 2 months in Indonesia, 2 weeks in Japan. So the first trip, I went to Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Singapore. And on that trip, I took a filtered water bottle with me. So I would fill up the tap water, and then when I was drinking, the water would filter through the water bottle. The second time around, I came a little bit more prepared, and I had a full water pump filter. So...
that was like a backpacking filter, right? The type that backpackers might use in the backcountry.
It's the type of filter that you can use to get water from rivers. So, pretty much.
Did you find an opportunity to use that when you were traveling? Did that come in handy on occasion?
Yeah, I actually used it a lot when I was in Asia.
Because there were times that you had to pay extra when you stayed in hostels, right? That water actually, so there was water available, but then there you had to pay for potable water.
Yeah, so usually how they do it in Asia is because you can't drink the tap water. It's unsafe. They have jugs of water that comes in, and families or companies will order this water to their homes, and that's not free. So they're going to charge the guests who are staying there the price that they're having to pay for that water. So it's really cheap for me to pay for that water, but I don't like to spend money. And I had my water filter, so I would use my filter and just filter out the tap water, and that's how I'd get my water. Whereas I was looking at the other backpackers, and they were just paying for their water because they had filtered water that came from jugs.
Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about, was there anything else about that, about the tap water or the water supply or anything else there? I mean, did it smell? Did the water smell? Did it taste good? What was it like?
It didn't have a smell, and when I would filter it, it tastes like normal water to me.
Yeah.
I do have a quick story about one time I was in the Philippines, and I was using my water filter to pump the water from the tap. And I remember I had taken a cup from the little kitchenette, and I had the faucet running, and I had the water just pouring into the cup with my filter so I could pump it. This man, he was a German man who owned a business in the Philippines. He came out of his little office, and he started yelling at me. He was talking in German and said a few words in English to me, like something about, don't waste my water. He said something like, it's so expensive, you're wasting my water. And he, like, turned the faucet off on me. And he was so concerned about how much water I was using, but I had only turned it on for like a minute or so to pump out the water I needed. But they usually do have to be very frugal and cautious about their water because it is a limited supply.
Interesting.
And you always see that in the showers as well. It's like turn off shower when you can or only use water that's necessary.
So they're conserving, so definitely not running it while they're brushing their teeth and stuff like that.
Definitely not.
Interesting. That is interesting. So let's turn a little bit to, because you and I have talked a lot about the impact you have seen on single-use containers, and some of the people on this call know that that's a passion of mine, the amount of plastics we use, the amount of bottled water that we in this country use, and frankly, this has been the mostly my experience is here, you know, and those, some of you have heard me, you know, quote the stats. We use 70 million plastic water bottles approximately a day in this country, with 60 million of them going back into the landfills or the oceans every day. What's it like in these other places? Do they use the single-use containers the same way we do? Is there a focus on, you know, here at least we attempt to do the recycle, reuse, and reduce, right? Are those efforts the same? Do people use the single-use containers at the same level that we do, and what's the attitude towards them in some of the other places that you've been?
All right, so I don't have any numbers on how many bottles are used in other countries. I just know what I've seen. People do drink a lot of bottled water, but I think the difference is that in those countries, like Southeast Asia, for example, they are drinking the bottled water for necessity rather than us in our country. We use it as convenience. So I think that's a big difference. There was times when I was traveling and I needed water, and my only option was to buy a bottle of water. So I didn't have a choice because I didn't have access to a running tap water. So I had to purchase the plastic bottle. So they don't really have many options, so sometimes they have to purchase these bottles. I did not see them purchasing big packages of these bottles at a time. I just saw, like, individual purchases.
So they'd be at vending stands or stores where they're single bottles at a time.
Yeah, I did see lots of vending machines in public places.
And
not so much in Southeast Asia, but in Japan, everywhere.
Sometimes here, especially in certain cities, you'll see separate canisters for, I know in Australia, we saw that quite a bit where they actually had separate canisters for plastics versus, it was Sydney, I think, that was there. So there was, they actually did have recycling programs available. Did you see that in other places? Is there an awareness of the need to recycle? Do they have programs in place that you're aware of? What's people's attitude of the disposal of these?
So in Australia, honestly, I didn't see that many recycling opportunities. There was so many times I wanted to recycle but couldn't, especially if I was living in a rural area. And then in Southeast Asia, I saw no recycling opportunities at all. It's not really a concept that they have. They even struggle with the concept of throwing things away. There was many, many times, Indonesia, for example, I was riding in a local bus and I would just see people throwing garbage out the window, plastic bags out the window, candy wrappers out the window of a bus, like adults. There's no concept. There's nowhere to put your garbage. There was a time when I did have to buy a plastic bottle, and I was traveling with a friend at the time, and we were so concerned because we couldn't find a place to put our plastic bottles. So we had no other choice than to set it on the side of the road because there's tons and tons and tons of other bottles and plastic garbage, just piles of plastic garbage on the sides of the roads, and that was our only option. And we both felt terrible about it, but there was nothing else we could do. We couldn't just carry this empty bottle with us throughout our whole journey. We just had to leave it somewhere. But that's just what they do. They just throw it on the side of the road, and there's not really any concept in Indonesia. Not everywhere, but in the more poorer communities.
You actually had some pictures and some video of even just the villages and the trash disposal in general. Describe that a little bit, because that was some of that was just, you know, heart-wrenching, but also fascinating. So, you know what I'm talking about? There was the one that, and for those of you who are interested, following Kelsey on Instagram is actually, it's a journey, and definitely something I'd take a look at. But tell me about the trash disposal in general in some of the villages.
In some of the villages, many people are just living amongst the trash. People don't really have a concept about it. There's no really system to get rid of it. Whereas we have a system, we take our trash and we hide it from the people, and it probably ends up in the oceans. but whereas they don't really have a system to get rid of it. And I have seen garbage trucks, but I've seen garbage trucks dump garbage just on the side of the road. So I've seen lots and lots of, people just living amongst the trash. I've seen little children playing with trash, like 2 years old, playing with plastic bottles or trash that they found because that's the only thing they had to play with. And parents don't try to stop them. It's just there's so much of it. That's what they have. It's not everywhere like that, but it's in a lot of communities.
So I find it interesting that you said that we take it away and hide it. So it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, right? So
right.
So here in this country, we like it. What's that? We don't have to think about
really
it, right?
We don't have to think about it. We just put it in the bin.
Yeah.
It's taken away
yeah.
from us, and we don't think about what happens to it in the end.
Yeah, when we talked about that, I found that kind of interesting because I wonder, you know, which is better for the awareness. You know, what are your thoughts on that? You know, is it better? Because I think you're right. You know, I mean, we still take it and we consolidate it and we bury it under and we make these huge garbage heaps or we take it out on barges and, you know, or we generate a lot of garbage. Any civilization does. You know, what do you think is better, to have it, there to where people see it and they're aware of it, or to have it the way we do it?
Because the local people that I saw, I think they see it, but I honestly don't think that they're aware of it, honestly.
Right.
They're just, it's so normal in their daily lives that it's there, and they have no idea what it's like when it's not there. That's where garbage goes for them. So
interesting.
I really don't think they are aware of what it is, or because they haven't seen it hidden before. They don't know what it's like without it.
Right.
Every place you go, there's garbage. The beach, there's garbage. You know, it's washing up from the ocean. So it's washing up from everywhere else onto their beaches. And that's not everyone, of course. Like, there are people who I'm sure are aware of it, but I'm sure they feel hopeless because they can't really do anything about it.
Interesting. Kelsey, where are you off to next? We're coming to the end here, and I want to talk a little bit about your future. So you're in the States now for another week and a half, right?
Yeah, correct. And then I'm off to New Zealand for another year of working.
So this is one of the most common questions, and this is not necessarily water related, but one of the most common questions, because I talk about you often, and people say, how does she do that? So who's paying for all that? And my answer with pride is doing it herself. You paid for your just about every expense with very few exceptions. But the first thing you did when you went out there is you got a job packing blueberries, right? Or picking blueberries.
Getting
paid by the bushel.
New Zealand, the country allows you to work. If you're between 18 and 30 years old, you can apply for a working holiday visa. And in Australia, you have the opportunity to extend that one-year visa for up to 3 years. I chose to only do 1 year at the time. And next I'm going to New Zealand where I can do the same kind of thing, apply for the working holiday visa, and this just allows me to go to the country and work while I'm there for the year. And I can get any job I want, minimum wage job, or in Australia I did work by picking blueberries. I worked in a packing shed, so I was packing fruit, lemons, mandarins, and oranges into boxes. And then I also was a cleaning lady at a hotel. You can do any job, and I've just worked my way through it to make it happen and work and save up all my money and then take the money I've saved and travel with that very frugally for a lot of months after that. And then it's just kind of a cycle.
Yeah, so what would you say, and I didn't prepare you for this question, but what would you say has been the one of the most profound, one of the biggest things that you learned in the last 2 years of traveling abroad?
Oh, tough.
Yeah. I didn't prepare you for that one, sorry.
I guess just overall, just learning how the world works, and I guess I've learned people are just people, and everywhere you go, everybody kind of wants the same things out of life, and that's just to be happy.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter how they get there.
You also told me something that I thought was really profound, and I hope it's okay that I share it, that everybody thinks that it's all, that it's very glamorous and that it's wonderful. And I know there's a lot of great experiences and you get to meet a lot of people, but you also said it can be very heartbreaking because you say it better than I do, obviously.
Yeah. Like everybody sees the beautiful pictures and the beautiful places I've seen, which there are tons of them, but there's also a lot of things that I've seen that have been difficult. I've seen a lot of pain and suffering and pollution that just makes me so sad. So it's not always rainbows and butterflies. There's a lot of, it's life. You're never going to get, it's never going to be perfect. But I have got to see a lot of heart.
You said that it's a series of goodbyes, that you meet wonderful people and as you move to the next town, you're having to say goodbye to these people that you've grown very fond of and that you've built a short relationship with, right?
Yeah, you create a lot of bonds, and even from the beginning of those bonds, you pretty much know you're going to be leaving each other in a couple of days or weeks, which I think makes you become closer in that time because you want to, suck up all of the good things from that, but then it is hard when you do have to say goodbye in the end.
So we've got about 3 minutes left here. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kelsey.
I was just saying sometimes it's not goodbye. Sometimes it's just see you later.
Yeah. So about 3 minutes here. Anybody have any questions for Kelsey in the last 3 minutes here? Any comments?
Hey, it's Stacy here.
Go ahead.
My question would be, the water in Asia, not drinkable, do we know what the issues are with it?
Good question.
I don't know exactly. I just know that there's a lot of bacteria that we can't drink. A lot of Asian people, they don't drink it either, but they still use it for cooking. And I guess their bodies are just immune to the bacteria there.
Or the cooking would kill the bacteria too, so because there's no disease causing infection.
Even in fresh foods, if you wash your vegetables in fresh foods, or you brush your teeth in it, or you use it for smoothies, they're still using that water, but I think they've become immune to it. Whereas sometimes when I drink smoothies or fresh fruits, I still get sick from that. Because my body's not used to it. But I don't know exactly which bacterias are in the water that's unsafe to drink.
Interesting. Good question, Stacey. Anybody else? Jen, you sound like you had one.
Yeah. I don't know if you still have contact with any of your friends in Australia, but I was kind of curious. You mentioned how they had the public water stations and refill stations. With all of the wildfires that they've had, I'm curious as to how that has possibly changed water table and those water stations. Do you happen to know that?
I honestly don't. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I imagine.
No, it's a good question, though, and one that I bet it has had an impact, especially with runoff and the ash and things running into the natural water supplies. That's actually really an interesting point, Jen. It's had to have had an impact.
Yeah, it must have. But a lot of the free water that I've seen has been right next to the ocean, so I'm not sure. I really don't know.
Right.
Something to look into.
Interesting. Yeah. What else? Last minute here. Any final comments or questions or thoughts? Kelsey, you have any? What is your? If somebody wanted to follow you on Instagram, would they be able to do that?
Yep, my Instagram is KelseyFaith24.
KelseyFaith24, and we'll put that in the description of this podcast as well. So, Kelsey, I really appreciate your time. Everybody else, thanks for hopping on. And Kelsey, I am excited to see what you will continue to learn, and that hopefully you'll come back again and visit us next year, and or talk to us again and with further information in New Zealand and every other place the world that your world travels take you. So be safe. Everybody, thanks very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before, and have a great weekend. Thanks very much.